Let me find out you done got a ponytail overnight. I was like,
listen, this is. Listen, you got to keep the waves intact, and it's 9:29 at night. So, you know.
Right. You're right. You got to keep the waves intact.
Anyways, but.
Matthew, what's your waves over there doing, man?
Matthew, you know I'm not taking off my hat if I don't have a bunch of black dye in it. So you're going to forget that. You can go to but it's kind of funny that Nalisha never knew that I get blackout until Keenan brought it to her attention, like it was his business to share. But hey, that's neither here nor there. But I'm gonna pay whatever the man charge because I'm gonna get that black stuff in there.
Get that black stuff on there.
So what happens if you don't have a haircut? What's your hair look like?
Oh, you will never know. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Glass House Podcast. My name is Matthew.
And I'm Nalisha.
And it's Keenan.
Welcome back to another episode of the Glass House Podcast. Listen, before you talk your noise, I know it's been a minute. A couple things have happened since we've last talked, so we got to work through that a minute. But anyways, welcome back to another episode. We hope that you enjoyed the last few episodes of this season, particularly the last episode that we're able to share with you. Hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you and your family have been well since the last time we have talked. However, do us a quick favor before we get started. I want you to just share and send this to someone based on the topic. I'm sure that's probably why you're here, but hopefully you will share it with someone that you hope it could add a bit of value to their lives as well. Before we get started on today's conversation, somebody's got exciting news to share. We've talked about it the whole season, so I'm going to let him share his news. So, Keenan, take the honors, my friend.
Oh, man. Thank you so much. I hope everybody's doing well. But within the past 2 weeks, on June the 8th...
Why it took you so long to think about that?
I had to make sure. But June 8th at 9:14 a.m., we welcomed Eliza Renee into the world as our first baby girl.
Congratulations.
Yeah, man. How's it been? It's been fun. It's been a roller coaster. It's been a ride. I have never waken up so early consistently in my life. but it's been good. It's been good. We have been learning how to kind of like get a schedule and, you know, all the good things that people tell you to do or whatever. And it's been working. I think one of my mentors asked me, what is your most exciting thing about having a kid? And then what's your worry, right? What is your top worry? And I answered both of those questions with the same answer. And that was honestly just raising a kid in a two-parent household. For me personally, I wasn't raised in a two-parent household. And I know that's a story for a lot of us listeners and a couple of us here on that are, you know, doing the podcast. But that's kind of like that was my number one worry because I wanted to make sure that she's able to, you know, be brought up in a two-parent household, and how would that look? And because I don't have many examples of how that looks, right? How do I know that I'm doing it right? So kind of came down to the conclusion of my wife and I, we don't fuss, we don't argue, we don't fight, we don't bicker back and forth, especially about the baby, because we realize we're both trying to do the same thing. And that's create a safe space, a fun space, in a healthy space for our child. So it's only been 2 weeks. Y'all check in with me in a couple months and make sure I'm all right. But it's been fun so far. It really has. So it's an exciting journey. And I got to celebrate my first Father's Day.
I love that. So,
cool, man. Yeah. It's been fun.
That's pretty cool. That's just amazing. With everything you said, there's nothing that I can even add to that conversation. So let's just move on. But congratulations.
I think the first baby in the Glass House Podcast.
This is our first baby.
We gotta get a shirt for the baby. little onesie with the baby. I'm gonna do that. Nalisha, you work in the mall. Go to one of the people in the middle of the mall and get one of those shirts made with that.
Send me the graphics. I'll get it.
Yeah, yes. In the middle of the mall. They press it. Yep. Yeah, look.
Get you a quick shirt in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, or get Lil Hassan to do it. Whatever their name is. Or I'm a Laker. Yeah, put that thing on there like that.
I'm a who?
Anyway. Laker. I'm a Laker. Yeah. But seriously, congratulations. Nalisha, what's up with you? How are you?
I'm good. You know, I just been working. I'm trying to work very hard to hire up people so I can take me a vacation.
It's important. Well, I'm not going to talk about the fact that when we got on, Nalisha has on a do-rag and she turns it aside. And anybody that knows Nalisha knows that she wears a short haircut. And so when she turned to the side, I'm like, let me find out you got a ponytail. Let me find out you done got a ponytail overnight. I was like,
you got to keep the waves intact, and it's 9:29 at night. So, you know.
You're right. You got to keep the waves intact.
Anyways, but
Matthew, what's your waves over there doing, man?
I'm not taking off my hat if I don't have a bunch of black dye in it. So you're going to forget that. But it's kind of funny that Nalisha never knew that I get blackout until Keenan brought it to her attention, like it was his business to share. But hey, that's neither here nor there. But I'm gonna pay whatever the man charge, because I'm gonna get that black stuff in there.
Get that black stuff on there.
So what happens if you don't have a haircut? What's your hair look like?
Oh, you will never know.
Can I see?
No. Anyways, so guys, welcome again. And I think Keenan's conversation kind of segues us into what we want to talk about today. So we want to talk about childhood trauma. I know, as comedic as we like to start our episodes, I think that this conversation is one that's needed in today's time. Keenan brought up a very valid point of just not growing up in a two-parent household and how that fear brings about a level of trepidation of his potentiality to be the kind of father that he wants to be in the world because he had no example. I think that we can all often undervalue the relevance of childhood experiences. We can also underestimate the effects of childhood experiences that we have that turn us into the kind of adults that we turn out to be. I believe that all of our childhoods make up the pillar that we build of our personality that's built upon. It's our way to understanding the world around us, our relationships, our feelings, and our thoughts. Childhood trauma often occurs more than we actually think. According to the CDC research, it is estimated that more than 60% of American adults have experienced some level of trauma in their childhood. When we're young, we don't usually have a clear understanding of what's going on and how it may affect us when we grow up. But in reality, we all consistently in some way have been exposed to the possibility of a traumatic event. When we're adults, we can gain an understanding of that potential effect that it has on us, because oftentimes we don't see it until it shows up. Oftentimes you ever saw things about yourself, certain mannerisms, you're like, my mama do that. Or you'd be like, my daddy do that. And for people who didn't have a father, you really don't know what your daddy do. Or if you didn't have a mother, you don't know what your mother do, right? Childhood trauma happens when children are exposed to distressing, emotional, painful events. This can include events like threatening situations, potential death around them, serious injury, sexual violence. Childhood trauma not only occurs when a child experiences the event themselves, but also when a child is exposed to a traumatic event. The thing about exposure is when you're exposed to something, you can't be unexposed to it. The common types of childhood trauma in children can be child mistreatment, abuse, neglect, exposure to domestic violence, bullying, community violence, motor vehicle accidents, natural disasters. All of those experiences can in some way shape our lives. And so today, I think we want to talk about our own experiences, and I think we want to talk about how we're navigating through them. I think I'd be lying if I said that I was completely healed from them. But the first step of healing is being able to talk about it. So if this is already the kind of episode you want to hear, then let's get into it. Before I think we share experiences, I want to ask you both. Can you, when I say the word trauma in your childhood, before we get into it, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Nalisha, go first. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of childhood trauma in Nalisha's life?
That comes to my mind as far as, you talking about personally for me?
Yeah.
I think about, you know, when you said the abuse factor. I've never personally been abused. My biological parents have never personally been abused, but I have witnessed abuse with a parent. as far as, you know, physical. It wasn't necessarily on my end, but watching that kind of ties back to me into relationships, because that's one thing that I know where I draw the line. It's never happened to me. That's something I don't tolerate, is being abused by a significant other. So me personally, just that kind of scarred me, because even someone like, you know, when you're in a relationship and, you know, you start to play fight, you do things like that, it's like, eventually, if it becomes like a pattern, like, let's say we're playing and, you know, you keep hitting me in one spot or something like that just triggers me. And it's like, I feel like you're trying to then abuse me. You may not be, you may just be playing, but stuff like that just plays in my head.
Keenan, go ahead.
Oh man, the first thing that I think about when I think about trauma, and before I try to like diagnose myself, I think about is sort of kind of what Nalisha kind of hinted on, is relationships. But from the factor of relationship building, right? Because my mom was a single parent and her and my dad did their thing for a little while until I was about maybe 2 years old, I never got to see my mom and my dad actually in a relationship together. All I got to do was hear my mom's side of the story, right? But growing up, I did not realize that watching my mom go through different relationships, not that she had like a man at the house every other day or anything like that, but just watching her go through different relationships and seeing her go through different friendships. My mom was always a person who, if you did something wrong to her, or if she felt like you wronged her, she would easily cut you off. She's a Capricorn, for my Capricorn babies out there, right? Like she would easily like just cut people off. And for me, it seemed like, oh, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, right? So if somebody hurts my feelings, or if somebody doesn't do something that I technically like or want done or whatever, I should just cut them off and just keep pushing, right? And I carry that even into my early adulthood, right? Probably all the way up until I met my wife. Because even while I was dating my wife did one thing that reminded me of an ex-girlfriend. And I was like, yep, no, I'm done. Right?
The man was first one day, the man was in Texas. The next day he was like, bro, I'm about to pull up. Where you at? I'm like, bro, how you in Savannah?
I'm done. What? Right. Right. I'm done. Right. And I had to realize, well, where did I learn that from? Right. So I know a lot of times, when we hear the word trauma, we jump, or we dive right into maybe the most traumatic thing, or we dive into trying to look for, because when we brought this topic up, honestly, guys, I was like, man, I don't know if I have any childhood trauma, right? And not saying that one story is weightier than the other, but like Matthew said, we all came up in different situations where, you know, no one can tell you what your trauma is except for you. Right. And my definition of trauma, when we start to think about it, really becomes, well, what is it that lingers in your life still till this day that, one, you may not know of, or two, you just don't want to deal with? Because you saw that example, you've seen that example played out, you've lived it, and now you're 20 years old and you're saying, that's just who I am, and that's just the way I like to do things.
Ooh,
that's just
they love to say that one.
You stuck in your ways at 19? You stuck in your ways at 22? Baby, if you may not get too far, right, with that kind of thinking. So that's what I start to sit back and think, well, what has traumatically happened to me to make me make that statement of, oh, that's just who I am and I'm not changing it? Because that's sad for me to say something like that at the age of 17, 18. And I went through many relationships all because I did not know how to really handle just a regular relationship, not even romantic, or I just didn't know how to have a basic friendship with accepting the ups and downs that come with it, right? I didn't know how to be unhappy in a relationship and be okay with that for the moment. To know that I may be unhappy now, but I won't be unhappy forever, because this is the person that I've chose to do life with, right? Not just these first couple of months. Y'all go somewhere.
That's also, I feel like it also ties into self-sabotage. Simply because, you know, when you grow up, like, because mine, you said yours was, your parents were when you were two. Mine was when I was three.
Yeah,
and literally, I tell my brother all the time, I could never see them together because I'm not used to it. Like, you know, I'm used to him over here, her over here, you know, like, and it was cool. It was working, you know, but at the same time, and my mom has always been like kids only. We've never seen anybody, never seen her date anybody. So that's another thing too. Like, that's where my independence comes from. And sometimes I can be overly independent. So I will definitely say self-sabotage is another thing. But Matthew, like, what has happened where you have childhood traumas that you take to, you know, that you bring into your everyday life now or that you have overcome?
It's crazy because I thought I was prepared for this kind of conversation. And then the more we have it, like, you think about all the stuff that hurt that you don't talk about often.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think like, it's like, okay, I'm ready for this conversation. We're going to have this conversation. And then now it's time to have it. You think about every experience in your life that reflects the one that you experienced when you were younger. I think two people can experience the same event in two completely different ways based on their context and their history.
Yeah.
Getting caught in the flood can be experienced as trauma or it can be experienced as a great adventure.
Yeah.
Right. So it comes off in different ways. I think about Kenan talking about his dad and just what that was like. I know we did a whole episode on that. I don't want to dig into that again. But I thought about that. And just to further unpack the porch scene, you know, if you heard that episode, you know what I'm talking about. I think that from that day that my dad never came back on my birthday, from that day to this one, I always feel like I was a second option to people. From my dad never coming back, I felt like I was a second option. He didn't pick me.
Yeah.
I felt like every job that told me you're not it, but then they called me back and told me that they picked me. I felt like I was always coming number two to somebody that was better than me. So for what I didn't have, I grew up in a church context. For what I didn't have, you know, all my preacher friends growing up, they could sing. You know, I mean, I was with Kenan. I was with some other friends. They would all sing before they preach. And I tried it one time and it was horrible. But my thing is, you know, like, remember that time at Fellowship Pull Up? I love you, Jesus.
Okay. The joyful noise, Zach. I was always there to pick you up.
You know, but I thought about, I think about how they could sing. And I was like, well, if they're going to be able to sing better than me or sing, period, I should learn how to use words they don't know how to pronounce.
You're right. And he did.
So as a result of feeling neglected as a young person, I was always competing with people that weren't competing with me. Because I was always trying to outperform someone else's performance when I was never even on the stage with them. So from that day to this day.
Wait, bro. Please hold on to that.
Listen, I'm trying not to cry, Kenan.
For somebody listening, I really need you to unpack that statement that you just said. And when you're talking about trying to compare yourself to somebody on a stage that you weren't even made for, please unpack that.
I believe for all of us, right? And when I say I believe, it's something I'm working through. All of us have been crafted for our callings. We've been wired for our work. Right. And there is an audience for whatever gifting God has given in all of us individually. So if we want to be churchy, I would say there's an audience for your anointing, but we ain't in church. So but what I am saying is that for so long, I was trying to be better than people God brought in my life to help me to be a better person. So many times we try to be a better performer or a better professional. Yeah. That we never actually have a result of being a better person. And so because we're trying to compete with who God sent to help, we don't see them as help. We see it as a hindrance because we don't see their help as a hinge. We often see it. And so because we do see it as competition, we never really learn from why they came in the first place. So when they leave, or when there's a problem, we run from whatever the problem was because we like them. We just don't like the fact that whatever they got don't make shows up what we don't have.
Matthew.
And so
Matthew.
I'm trying to work through my trauma. I'm trying to work through my trauma.
For you to come on here and say you don't think you was ready for this topic, I think this was something that you were ready for.
Because, like, I think about me today, right? Like, I think about the Matthew Grady that is still trying to find me at 27 years old.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I revert back to what did I do now to make me not work in this setting? Let me explain that. Like, if something happens, right? I don't know about you guys, and we got to talk about this together right now. You ever felt like you were given too much when certain seasons were given too less?
Always.
And so you felt like you over-delivered when that season under-served you. And always. So you tell yourself, here we go, I'm coming fast. We tell ourselves, I ain't never going to give that much again.
Yeah.
I ain't never going to love that hard again.
Yeah.
I ain't never going to be that transparent again. I ain't never going to be that vulnerable again. And the problem that we have with the never, ever, will I ever do again is because it's in our DNA to act consistently with that behavior. We say it with our mouth, but because it's already in our hearts,
yeah,
it's hard for us to revert back to something we said we would never do when we never got fixed.
Yep.
Here's the thing about a flat tire. Yeah. If you put air and there's a hole, you can keep driving for a minute, but it will leak eventually. But if you take it to a professional and you get the tire replaced, you can go a little bit longer. And I'm afraid that most of us are a bunch of patched up tires in a broken world trying to give people broken pieces and we trying to act like they ain't being cut.
Now, let's go here. Let's go here because you opened the door.
He's
now, why do you guys believe that we make the choice to stay patched up? I say this because, I mean,
I'm going to let y'all go because I'm still broken. That's why. And it's hard for me to talk about it because if I talk about it, I'm going to be reminded of all the stuff I went through and how it still hurt me. That's why. But go ahead. Exactly. Y'all got it.
Listen, all I'm going to say is once you and there's another thing, too, that, you know, some people don't want help. So they stuck in the mindset of don't fix what's not broken when technically you are broken. Because when you exactly so, you know, that goes back to remember when we talked a couple episodes about, you know, therapy, going to therapy, figuring out, you know, some people don't know their childhood trauma until they actually sit down and talk about it because they on the move and on the go so much that they don't even sit back and think like, dang, this really did happen to me. Or dang, like Matthew, you were saying, like, this was a pattern. I've seen this before. I see my mom do it. I see my dad do it. Something of that sort. So it's like, you going to continue to do what you want to do unless you figure it out for yourself.
That's just like, and I'm going to let Keenan go, right? But that is, from my life and thinking about it, I never felt good enough. No matter if that was on a stage speaking or on a stage preaching or in a work setting or a job interview, or relationships, I always felt like a backup plan. And as a result of that neglect, it has caused nostalgia in the most he can perform well. But when you sit down and talk to him about all that stuff that's broken, you realize it's still broken. Because anybody that learns to perform, they learn to get an applause, which means they perfect band-aids and bruises. They never really embrace healing. And so I think in order for us to start healing, we got to first acknowledge the event, then we got to accept support, and then we got to practice some type of self-care outlet. Like that is where I think we are. But go ahead, Keenan and Alicia. I just want to think about that again.
That's really, really good. And I don't want to speed over the fact that it takes a lot for us to acknowledge, especially in this culture now. I see so many people on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, trying to work through like relationships. And the number one topic is, well, why are people cheating in relationships, right? Why are people cheating in relationships? Why can't we be faithful? And then we blame it on, well, social media is the issue. And then we say, well, people are lying and they're deceitful and this and this and that. And, you know, we come up with all of these different things, but I think it really comes back down to the root of whatever it is you're failing in, whether that's relationships, whether that's business, whether that's, you know, finding a job or keeping a job, whatever it may be that you're failing in. Like Matthew just said, you have to be able to acknowledge your downfall, right? And specifically, if it's childhood trauma, you got to learn how to trust yourself. Most of these situations, we've never even spoke aloud to ourselves.
Yeah. So of course, you have to self-evaluate too. I will say that, because I do a lot of self-evaluation, and I try to tell other people that as well. Like, For y'all that don't know, I have a boyfriend. But so my boyfriend, so my boyfriend, you know, I talk to my boyfriend about self-evaluation all the time. And it's something that he's now learning. Like, he'll take a moment, like there'll be something that we talk about. He'll take a moment and he'll text me and be like, you know what? Self-evaluation moment. This just happened. And I'm starting to understand it. And it's, you have to take that moment to figure out, let's say for some reason, I'm yelling at y'all and I'm irritated with y'all, and y'all like, I really didn't do nothing to her. And I'm sitting here thinking in my head, like, I'm irritated because I'm so used to anger issues. I'm so used to being mad at this person, being mad at that person, being, you know, traumatized from, like you said, being left on the porch. It's like, you have to sit back and think and just be like, you know what? I'm tripping. Let me figure out what it is that I have going on right now, and let me figure out why. And it could be something that happened 2 months ago. It could have been something that happened 3 years ago. You never, your childhood trauma follows you. And it's always more to the table that you bring as far as that childhood trauma, because it could be one little thing that you're thinking about. And then when you dig deep, it's eight other things that you're going through that you haven't even addressed.
Now, question, Matthew, why is it so important for us to find out what these traumas may be or these triggers may be? Why is it so important for us to find out what it is and accept it, right? Because a lot of times we say, well, I don't need to think about that stuff. I don't need to bring that back up, right? But why is it so important for us to conquer that part of our lives?
I think without acknowledging the significance of the situation, nobody can be healed. If it hurt, right? Like, if it really hurts, we have mastered compartmentalization. So I think as people, like, we naturally, like, think about animals, right? Animals have this distinct ability to be able to protect themselves from danger. Even the animals that you think are the most defenseless animals, snails have an instinct to protect themselves.
Yeah.
Bees have a way to protect themselves. Oftentimes, what do you see when you see a bee or a wasp? He's not going to bother you until you bother him, right? That's what we say, right?
Exactly.
Or, you know, jellyfish have, like, the most harmless creatures that we think don't naturally won't attack us. They have an instinct to protect themselves, because we have to all know, here I come, I'm coming fast. The only way we know that danger is coming is because we've experienced it before. But because some of the dangers we've encountered as young people, we can compartmentalize our heart, but we can't close off our expectation. Like, if somebody walk up to me and they like this, I'm thinking, he already slapped me. So I'm thinking, I gotta slap him for he slapped me. You know, I'm thinking, like, you know,
like, their instinct come fast.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't getting ready to slap me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
slap before.
Yes.
And then boom, you on TikTok going viral.
Yeah, so I'm saying. So I guess what I am saying is this. What I am saying is that our instinct to protect our feelings and our hearts are automatic. But if we don't acknowledge what hurt us, we will live our lives not being able to identify things that trigger us. So if I know that I've got abandonment issues, and I'm not afraid to say it, I've got abandonment issues, right? And so I know if I have abandonment issues, I can't avoid situations where I feel abandoned, because this is life. Nobody does life completely avoiding all the things that hurt you.
Yeah.
But I know that symptoms of that symphony of abandonment, when it starts to come on, I'm like, okay, I need to back up a little, or I need to step back. And oftentimes I find myself pulling away from things that remind me of neglect. But with a lack of communication does not properly tell people around me that I love them to know that this time I'm picking me, because my triggers are reflective of what I've experienced in my life. So to answer that question directly, what I'm saying is that if we don't identify what hurt us, we can't get the help we need to heal us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I'm trying to recover from not being chosen, that means I got affirmation problems. Don't worry about it, I'm talking about some stuff today. That means I've got self-sabotage problems. That means I've got self-doubt. There's no experience of trauma comes with one trigger.
Right.
So yeah, right. Go ahead, Keenan. I'm sorry. That was what
I was saying. No, I mean, you answered it great, but I think exactly what you said. Our triggers turn into our identifiers, right?
Yeah.
Our triggers and our trauma turns into our identifiers, to where now you don't have to master. You can't. I'm not saying acknowledge your triggers or acknowledge your trauma to where you never experience it again. We don't know if that will happen. But what we can do is say, if something similar to that situation or to that feeling that we had pops up, we can identify where it comes from, right? So now we can identify, why am I such in a pissy mood, right? I can identify, why is it that I don't want to talk to nobody? I can identify, why is it that I'm cursing everybody out right now, right? And then you'll be able to understand that, hey, maybe you need to, exactly what you were saying, what that next step was some type of self-care, right? And whatever that is that you need to do for your self-care, I truly advise that you do it. So I know we got to wrap this thing up, but I wanted to ask this as we do wrap up. But Nalisha, what is possibly maybe some of the things you do for self-care when you get in those moments? And why is it like ultra important to have some type of go-to?
Well, let me first say that, to you and Matthew's point, I feel like you're never going to be 100% healed, because any little thing can trigger you. And by that, I mean, it's something that can hit you out of the blue that you don't even know. But I say that to say this, you know, my personal, time that I spend with myself, Lord knows, if you know me, you know, I'm gonna get my sleep in, a good nap. On my days off, like I choose my days off wisely. So I have 2 days off back to back. So, you know, so it's not all about work. My first day, whether it be the first day or the second, one of those 2 days off, I'm going to take the entire day to rest my body, rest my mind, rest my soul, just rest and lay in the bed. If I want to watch a little Netflix, I'm gonna watch that. But, and one of those other days, I'm going to take that day to be productive. So I'm going to do something that I love, which everybody knows, I love the style. So I go out and I shop and, or I get my nails done, you know, things of that nature, because it just relaxes me. I feel like when you're relaxed, you're a better version of you, because you're not overly stressed. You're not overthinking. Overthinking can cause you to think about, you know, those triggers as well. So just kind of relaxing your mind, relaxing your body, and just doing the things that make you genuinely happy. What about you, Matthew?
I think that, like, you know, like for me, like, you know, for anybody trying to just like, what are trauma triggers? I just think the trauma triggers are things in our life that remind us of the trauma that we experience. And so we find ways to, I think, distract ourselves from the trauma that we may feel, because particularly with triggers, right? Like sometimes an event or a situation will re-engage what you've experienced. I'm a very routine person. I like to stick to routines very well, because I grew up, my mom struggled with my sisters and I, and she didn't have much of a routine. You know, we just had to kind of figure it out along the way. She provided the best she could for us. And then at 15, I went into foster care, and I had older foster parents, and they were just like, get up every day, You're supposed to go to school. You guys are old enough to go. I was 15 when I went to foster care. My foster brother was 16. You guys go to school. You figure it out. You know, X, Y, Z, blah, 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 blah. You know, come on Fridays, do your chores in the middle. We give you $50, you know, on Fridays and whatever. You know, so like, I think about just how.
You allow it?
$50.
I wish.
You know, so now that I'm an adult, like, I wake up very early in the morning. I do the same routine every day. Like, I mean, if somebody was to stalk me, they're going to find me doing the same thing and walking the same route. But I realized that.
Don't say that on your podcast.
That's they got to find me first. That's so right. And I got the heat for them too. But I guess my ability to be on a schedule is reflective that I didn't have much of a schedule. And so I stick to my routine. I think like every day I do this, I do that, I do that, I do that. But also I engage things that make me happy, similar to what you just said, Nalisha. I want to encourage people to engage distractions because distraction can become detours and detours can derail you, I think, from what it is you're personally feeling. And so you never really heal from it. So distraction, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But me personally, like I like to read. I like to get lost in politics because that stuff makes me happy. But I think as a result, I'm not making an excuse why I like politics. I just like people being able to argue respectfully about both sides of their opinion and meet in the middle because decisions have to be made. That's why I engage politics. But me, I find myself being happy reading and I find myself being happy outside because nature we can't control. But and something I'm going to say about myself really quickly, and I'm going to give it to Keenan. I thought about the other day, you know, sometimes I think through things. I was thinking about why I like nature so much, right? Because when you go outside, you can't control what's about to go on outside.
We know you love nature, all right.
It's so reflective. I'm thinking the nature route is reflective of me. I'm kind of a control freak.
Very much so.
Whoa.
I'm glad. Whoa. Wait. Can we take that time to do a self-evaluation moment?
Whoa.
And applaud Matthew for
what just happened? What just happened?
Listen,
that was great. That was a breakthrough moment.
That was a breakthrough.
Whoa. What just happened?
Self-evaluation moment.
What just happened? I ain't your man. I ain't got no self-evaluation moment.
You had a self-evaluation moment, and I say that because
why y'all did that just now? I didn't like that.
That's the first time you've ever said that I've heard.
Whoa.
Because your organization becomes, you know, like you're very.
It becomes obsessively annoying.
Obsessive. No, it's not really annoying because we laugh about it all the time, but it's a bit obsessive sometimes, but we, you know, we love you how you are.
You got to see him in action.
It
becomes slightly annoying only because it's like, bro, whoa. You know you. It's like, bro, you know you ain't got to do that, right? Like, we chilling this weekend, Matthew. You ain't. Just calm down, bro.
Matthew is the itinerary guy.
I think Keenan knows that all too well. Yeah, no, first of all, okay, all right, you know what? I know I'm saying we got to go, but I think people like this episode. So
this is good.
All right, so we're not going to talk. We're going to flip it on you, both of y'all. I said that out loud, right? And I'm not going to lie. I don't say that often out loud at all because I haven't really known it's been a problem until recently. So what is something that you haven't said out loud that has been a problem within yourself that you have not been able to vocalize often? Let me hear.
I feel like I can be selfish at times. A lot of times.
When is that borderline looking out for you and just, I ain't got time for you?
Well, I've seen it a lot. So actually my job helps me realize a lot about myself. Like I get irritated very quickly.
I think leadership just does that naturally altogether.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I think being a leader just does that.
But when I say being selfish, like sometimes, okay, let's say you tell me that you're coming to get me, right? You're coming to get me, pick me up. We're going out and having some drinks or whatever. And then you're like, hey, you know, can't really go. Something happened last minute. I'll tell you to never ask me to go nowhere with you again. Because no, listen. Because I already
I'm not that extent though. I'm not to that extent.
I already don't like going nowhere. So for me it builds up a lot of courage for me to want to go somewhere. So when I say selfish, it's like Because and I don't know what you got going on.
But that's an episode, no cap.
That is. But I don't know what you got going on. Your car might have broke down. I'm over here thinking about myself. So that's all I'm saying. Like, the first instinct is to think selfishly and not to think, well, maybe this could have happened. Maybe that could have happened. No, I'm thinking about me. I'm thinking, you didn't ask me to do this and now you don't want to do it. Don't ask me no more.
Keenan. Go ahead, Keenan. Go ahead, because that's a lot right
there.
That's a lot.
I think.
No, that's real.
I think for me personally, I grew up as an only child. I was the only child until I was 16. So I started to adopt this whole thing of kind of like my way or the highway. I think because I didn't have anybody to really debate with or argue with. Anything that I asked for, not anything. I wasn't like the richest person in the world. My family wasn't rich, you know, but anything that I asked for, anything that I wanted to do, because at the time I was the only grandchild and I was the only, my mom's only child and my dad's only son. A lot of the things that I asked for got done. So, or a lot of the comments I made was like, oh, okay, well, I guess that's the way to go. And we just going to do that and, you know, keep it pushing. So, and even now being married and even being in a leadership role, sometimes, and my wife tells me this all the time, sometimes if I see something happening one way, you can't tell me that it can happen another way until I try my way first.
Oh, if you know how toxic that sounds.
it is very toxic. And
you're toxic, bro.
And now that I know of it, right, I take glimpses back to past relationships where girls were like, you're just too controlling and da 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 da. And I was like, no, I'm not controlling, right? But I think I had built up this thing of, if you're not going to fight me on it, or if you're not going to, you know, argue me the point and prove to me that my point does not work, then I ain't going for it, right? But I learned that in leadership and especially with having other people under you, you have to be open. You got to be flexible, right? So I'm working on it. I'm still working on it to this day. I'm not saying that I've mastered it, but that's something that I definitely try to work on a daily basis.
If y'all tell Keenan the sky about to turn red tomorrow, he need to see it for himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you got to show me.
But what you just said, though, I think for a parent listening to this, and Keenan, you're a new parent, right? What you just said tells me that everything traumatic that we experience is not the result of parents who weren't trying to be good parents.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Like, even as we opened the episode, and you were talking about just, like, things that you are trying to intentionally do and your goals that you want to accomplish with being a dad. Like, no matter what you try to prevent or protect your kid from, there is this mean, ugly world out there that will hand deliver experiences to your kid that will in some way shape their futures, right? And like, your mama didn't make you selfish. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, because I believe parenting, no matter how many books, how many teachings, how many classes, parenting is the one job that you are never 100% ready to do. Because there is not a one size fit all approach to parenting.
Yeah.
So even though your kid may have certain ways about them in the world or whatever characteristics about them, this kid has been tailor made different than any other kid in the world. Right. So, like, your mama raising you and your brother, those require two different parenting styles. So, like, now when I think about even my own life, like, we got to own our stuff. We got to own our trauma. We too grown to be making excuses for why we can't be in committed relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We too grown to not be able to keep a job and you got to quit every month because somebody says something you don't like. Yeah, if I could thump this screen, I would. If you're listening to me. You too grown to not be able to work through the stuff that hurts you and go to somebody's job and be offended because somebody says something about you and you got to quit. I remember, and I know we saying we got to go, but I'm so sorry. I needed
this was long, y'all.
I needed this one. I remember I was working at Macy's and someone had said something to make me upset that was working there. And I remember my manager, his name was Doug, right? We went in the office. He let me like, I just let it all out. I just like let it all out. I'm like, man, so-and-so saying so-and-so, so-and-so saying so-and-so. And looked at me and said, Matthew, you will work well beyond Macy's one day. You will go on to do whatever it is your heart desires. But young man, never let your feelings mess up your money.
Mm.
And
okay, Doug.
Right. And I remember and he said something to me that I think about today. Our response to offense is only a reflection of areas of our life we're unhealed through.
Yes.
Our response to offense is only a reflection of areas of our life that we're unhealed through. And now that I think about, you know, like some of y'all listening to this podcast, y'all are too grown to be talking about my mama didn't love me, so I can't love you. Well, don't put yourself on the market to be loved. I am not saying that stuff won't hurt. I'm just saying we have to learn to continue while we cry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got to keep
it. Night.
We got, I'm in my bag tonight. But like, man, because I'm not joking. Like, and I mean this, I have lost some really good relationships because I have allowed my area of neglect to be faulty in ways where I've seen people leave my life and I've not tried to fix it because they made me feel like they didn't want me. That's not even just romantically. That's just like friendship. That's everything. That's in general. Like, oh, you made me feel you don't want me? Cool. I'm going to implode on my own feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm going to convince myself I wasn't good enough. And before it even gets that bad where I have to tell myself I'm not good enough and cut myself off from people, no, you know it hurt. So when you feel it coming on, why do we go like, okay, so I'm about to say this and I'm about to let y'all go because I'm about to talk to like 50 people listening to this podcast. I'm about to talk to like 50 people. I'm about to talk to all y'all grown people, y'all millennials listening to this podcast. Oh, here I come. I'm coming like a train, the Metro train.
Coming
here
I come.
You know how I do sometimes. Sometimes I got to get cut off from the world and I get in my antisocial mood where I don't want to talk to anybody. So where you hear, here it is. So I don't answer my phone for a couple. So you preparing not to answer your phone for a couple of days? I'm preparing not to. I'm not going to answer my phone for a couple of days. I'm just going.
You know the one I hate?
Cut off from the world. Go ahead, Keenan.
You know the one I hate? The Facebook post that say, if you look for me, I won't be available on here for a while.
So you just told me to reach out to you. That's what's, like, it's a difference between, here's the thing, right? And I'm not making fun of anybody's trauma. It's the difference between your trauma and your attention-seeking behavior.
Yeah. That's for another episode because attention seeking, we can go on all night about that.
But I don't think I have the patience to endure people who pre-prepare for pain.
That's another episode.
That's something different. That's something different. See, because I got my own stuff I got to work through.
Mm-hmm.
And with my own stuff I got to work through, when you telling me ahead of time, or sometime I just unplug from the world, I know that when I'm having my moment, and I want to unplug from the world, I don't have you to depend on because you unplug from the world, which means you unplug from me. So I can't depend on you to be my life support.
At all.
I'm done. I'm done. I promise I'm done. Because I'm done. We
either going to do a part two. Let us know if you want us to do a part two or do another episode as far as attention seeking, because attention seeking can go on and on and on. I'm pretty sure all of us done went through somebody that we know that like, oh yeah, you know, I just want to, you know, give up. I just can't do it no more. But you posting this on Facebook. Lord, please help me now.
Matthew and I know a couple of attention seekers.
Like that's crazy though. Like I don't. The older I get, the less patience I have to support people who refuse to support themselves.
Yeah.
Like, no cap.
I do want this to be said. I don't want us to seem insensitive to folks who may really need help, right? But if you're really seeking help, seek help.
And don't broadcast it.
Right? Like, what bothers me is we get on Facebook, Instagram, and we say, God, I really need you. Well, talk to God. Don't make no post about it.
No, if you just want me to ask you what's wrong so you can tell me how much money you need to pay your light bill.
Right.
But you said you needed him. You didn't need me, because if he told me to help you, he would have got in contact with me. But you're trying to get me. Ain't no way I'm going to throw you a lifeline and you got a boat and I'm swimming. Ain't no way. Ain't no way.
They had to take the scenic route.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm going to throw you no lifeline and you got a boat and I'm swimming. That don't make no sense.
Man.
Like, we got to, man, I'm serious. Like, because there are some stuff, man, I'm 27 and there are some stuff that I don't even, that hurt. Like, that still hurt. Like, so if I'm hurting and we trying to work through our friendship, our relationship together, if I'm being open about the stuff that hurt me, how come I got to find out what I didn't know hurt you turns out to hurt you that I did do that you didn't tell me about as a precursor to what could possibly hurt you? Long-lasting relationships will only linger on the hinge of transparency.
Right.
Ain't no way y'all been friends for 5 years and you ain't able to tell me or talk to me at least or attempt to talk to me about the stuff that happened with your mama that still hurt you. So then when I say something that I didn't know that hurt you, you done with me. Yeah. You didn't give me a chance to hear you or help heal you.
Yeah,
I feel like you're not really friends at that point. It's just a different meaning of friendship, but we're not going to get into that either.
Listen,
let us know if you want a part two.
Please do, y'all. Y'all let us know if a part two is requested, and we will do it. We got to stop Matthew, because Matthew
we're done. No, we're done. We're done. Seriously, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. And I hope from everything we shared today that, as Kenan said, like, if you genuinely need help going through a battle in your life, hope you would ask for help. I know we've covered a lot today, and we talked through a lot of different our own experiences. But most importantly, I hope you heard the intentions of this episode.
Yeah.
And that is without our own self-inflicted wounds. We've got wounds that we inherited from our circumstances, but we also have wounds that we've self-inflicted. And whether we grew up with the circumstances of those wounds or whether we self-inflicted them, everybody deserves healing. And it's available. And I don't know whether you need to go have somebody read your palm, whether you need to go to the church house, or whether you need to talk to somebody. Whatever it is that you believe about what will cause your healing, I don't know. But what I would encourage is, if you don't say it, you'll never see the manifestations of the healing of it. So I hope that you get the help you need. And I hope that spaces like this makes this stylish again. Like, now, Alicia's a style person, and you know that certain outfits don't go with certain seasons. But I think transparency goes with every season.
Yeah.
And I think that trauma and being able to talk about it should go with every season of your life, because seasons we can't control, cycles we create. So that's my last words. Kenan and Alicia, please share your last words.
I ain't got nothing else to say.
I think you said everything, but definitely... Definitely get your help if you need it. And, you know, hopefully this podcast opens your eyes to a lot and opens your ears to go out, you know, and get help. So,
yeah, listen, share it with somebody, tell somebody about it so we can do this again. And like you said, you guys can reach us via social media. I think there's an email attached to the bottom of our link or whatever way you guys need to get to us, get to us. We'll talk about it some more. If somebody wants to join the conversation, hit us up, right? Hit us up, and we will be glad to add you to the conversation and talk with you about it. So,
Kenan, I thought you was gonna like end it, but you said
I'm sorry. Go for it. That's usually your job.
You're like, hey, you can add to the conversation, and they're like, now Alicia throwing up pieces. I'm like, all right, bro, bye. But anyways, thank you so much, guys, for listening to the Glass House Podcast and this episode. Hope to, in any way, we ask that you do one thing, and that's share it with somebody else. You hope that it could add value and validity to their life. Thank you for another time that you've joined the house. We'll see you next time around the house. Bye bye. Thank you. Thank you.